good to have everybody on board today. I worked on this Sunday school. Little did I know how just completely applicable it is for what we've all been through in the last week. Actually, before I get started, we were going to try to have Pastor Larry play a song. Are we going to do that, Pastor?
We'll see what happens.
Let's see what happens. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, who's that riding? Who's that riding?
We turn it up a bit.
Who's that riding? Hey, book up and stuff on. Tell me what's John riding? What's John riding?
Turn up a bit, riding? Yeah.
Hey,
John the Revelator, one of only 30 songs he ever recorded in his lifetime. And I simply cannot think of a better Sunday school for today, because everybody in Texas, we've been sick of the blues since we came back. Amen, we made it. So let's talk about Blind Willie Johnson. He was from Beaumont, and he has influenced countless musicians for decades. Yet he never, in his lifetime, experienced the kind of earthly fame and fortune of those who would come after him. And even though I love black gospel music, you know, I don't think I've ever heard of him before. Where did I find out about him? Lo and behold, and if I say her name, she's probably going to perk up. But I heard about her from Alexa. He played one of his songs, and now I'm a lifelong fan.
I don't know that.
Did you hear the She said, sorry, I don't know that one. I'm not going to argue with her this time. Yes, she does. Oh, I wish I had the time to watch a video. It was produced by another lifelong fan who actually sought out Blind Willie Johnson's grave in historical marker, honoring him in Beaumont. It's really fascinating. Oh, that's about 45 minutes, so we just don't have the time. But it's interesting to see that he did not go completely unrecognized. So we can't watch the video, but we can do this. We can take a closer look at the life and the legacy of Blind Willie Johnson, shall we? Yes, let's do. Blind Willie Johnson was born on January 25th, 1897, and he lived to September 18th, 1945. He was an American gospel blues singer. Hopefully you got a bit of that. We could do so much better if we were all together. And we will be again someday. He was a guitarist, and he was an evangelist. His landmark recording, completed between 1927 and 1930, just 30 songs in total, it displayed a combination of powerful chest voice singing, sly guitar skills, and originality that has influenced generations of musicians. And even though Johnson's recordings sold well, for a street performer and a preacher, he had little wealth in his lifetime. His life is fully documented, but over time, music historians have uncovered a lot more about him and about the 5 recording sessions he had, only 5 in his lifetime. And I just hit a button, and where am I? Let's go back a little. No, it always goes smooth in presses. Ta-da! Ta-da! Let me get back to where I was. There was a real revival in that kind of music. It began in the 1960s because he was included, his music was included in an anthology. And he was really considered a dominant player of the type of music that you heard, hopefully. Holy blues. It's Christian music in the blues style. Music which conveys religious themes in a blues idiom, and often with the genre's style of guitar accompaniment. Now, Johnson was not born blind, so he was impaired with a disability at an early age. And we believe he was maybe about 3 years old. I'm uncertain exactly how he lost his sight, but it's generally agreed. Most biographers believe he was blinded by his stepmother when he was about 3 years old, and she threw lye at his father during an argument. Missed, and it hit Willie in the face, and blinded him as a result. Now, by the time Johnson began his recording career, he was a well-known evangelist with a remarkable technique and a wide range of songs. On December 3rd, 1927, this is incredible. This is local history. 1927, a temporary studio was set up by a talent scout in Deep Ellum. In Deep Ellum in Dallas. Amazing. He was hired by Columbia Records to record, and he played 6 songs, 13 takes in total. And he was accompanied by Willie B. Harris on his first recording by the title of I Know His Blood Can Make Me Whole. And what did he get paid for that? $50. $50 per quote-unquote musical side. That was a lot of money for that time. We think $50. That was a lot of money. But here's the thing. He was paid a bonus to forfeit royalties from the sale of the record, which is just robbery in my humble opinion. He should have been paid for all the records that he sold. In fact, his debut became a substantial success. 9,400 copies were pressed. I don't know how old, I had a record player growing up. I need to admit it, I can say my older sisters had them. We had records. You had to have a record, and you had to have a record player, right? So, my goodness, who had the money to have both those things? Somebody did in Texas back in the late 20s. Because 9,400 copies were pressed, right? They had to actually press them. Now, that was more than the latest release of a Columbia's most established star, Bessie Smith. Anyone ever heard of Bessie Smith? Let me give you the equivalent. That's like saying someone going out today making a recording outselling Beyonce. It's just incredible that that would have happened at that time. And then even after that, they made another 6,000 copies. Now, he did a couple other sessions, but his fifth and final recording session, he went to Atlanta. And Harris, his accompaniment, went along with them, providing vocal harmony. However, in the meantime, the Great Depression wiped out much of his audience. And consequently, only about 800 copies were pressed. Some of the songs were re-released later in 1932, but in fact, Johnson never recorded again after that. Which I think is tragic because those recordings now are lost. Lost forever. Lost but not forgotten. Oh, what a great today. Now, this is the tragedy. He was living in a home in Beaumont. And for those of you who've been to Beaumont, I have a friend in Beaumont. Very humid, right? Down by the cove. So throughout the Great Depression in the 1940s, he performed in several cities and towns in Texas, including Beaumont. And a city directory actually shows that in 1945, a Reverend W.J. Johnson, that is undoubtedly Blind Willie, he operated the House of Prayer at 1444th Street in Beaumont. But tragically, in 1945, the home was destroyed by fire, but he had nowhere to go. So he continued to live in the ruins of the house. And he was exposed to the humidity and he contracted malarial fever. But no hospital would admit him. Over the course of the year, his condition steadily worsened until he passed away September 18th of 1945. This is a tragedy. Sadly, his death certificate reported the cause of death as blindness. Blindness is the cause of death. Unbelievable. He was buried in Blanchette Cemetery, which is where the video was. And really, I do urge you to go back and watch this wonderful video that this videographer made in this particular cemetery. And the location of this cemetery has been long forgotten, but it was rediscovered in 2009. I mean, relatively recent. And the grave site itself remains unknown. But the researchers who have identified the cemetery, they erected a monument there in his honor in 2010, which is really wonderful. It's a headstone in the shape of a guitar, with some of the lyrics from some of the songs, which is a touching tribute. I just sort of want to wrap it up with this thought. In 1977, let's fast forward now to, 45 to 77, Carl Sagan, remember Carl Sagan, and a team of researchers were tasked with collecting a representation of Earth and the human experience for sending on the Voyager probe to other life forms. Remember, we were in search of intelligent life. We're still looking. We're still probing. But along with this, the Voyager probe, they took along 27 songs. They actually made a record, Voyager Golden Record. Dark was the night, cold was the ground. That's one of his earliest ones. Chosen by NASA. And why did they choose it? According to the person who chose it. Johnson's song concerns a situation he has faced many times. Nightfall with no place to sleep. Since humans appeared on Earth, the shroud of night has yet to fall without touching a man or woman in the same plight. Amen. Lots of homeless people, especially after this week. Thompson's recording was also selected by the Library of Congress in its 2010 edition of the National Recording Registry, which selects recordings annually that are deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. The cool thing is, in 2017, I mean, very, very recent history, the story of Blind Willie Johnson's inclusion on the Voyager probe was told in a multi-award-winning 27 documentary series by the title of American Epic, directed by Bernard McMahon. The film was accompanied by a compilation album, American Epic, The Best of Blind Willie Johnson, and it features radically improved restorations of 16 of his, of course, 30 recordings. What a take. What is the takeaway for today? I'm simply this. We can get real, real discouraged by what this may seem to us as a lack of success in our earthly efforts. But fear not. If you are sincerely focused on the glory of God, Blind Willie Johnson certainly was. He will honor that. He will indeed honor that in ways you cannot even imagine. In fact, I really wanted to wrap up with this. We're just not able to do it. And it wouldn't play well. But they actually included that song that we had just heard, John the Revelator, covered by none other than the Blues Brothers, amen, in a Blues Brothers 2000. I didn't realize the Blues Brothers had made an album, actually a remake, the original Blues Brothers, my goodness, early 80s, right? Like the 40-year, I guess it was 40-year remake. John the Revelator on the Blues Brothers. Really amazing. So I just want to leave you with the story as an encouragement. And just this week, it's been a rough one. But you know what? The Lord is still in the business of doing amazing things. So, that's what I wanted to just wrap it up today. If we can all unmute again and talk amongst ourselves.